Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen Coop.
Hello and welcome to episode number 23 of the Building a Better World podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope you're having a good day. And I hope you're excited for today's topic, because I sure am. Because in this episode, we are going to be talking about natural swimming pools, which are entirely unnecessary and yet also amazing at the same time. And so this is going to be a fun discussion. But before we get into that, I just want to thank everybody again who has purchased the book, Building a Better World in Your Backyard, and all of the extremely positive comments and encouragement that I've received, both from the people who I've never met before and from the people who I know. So thanks so much for that. It's really encouraging to see these ideas making their way out into the world more, and people making changes and lowering their footprints and living enjoyable lives and saving money at the same time. So thanks so much for everyone who just purchased the book. I appreciate all of you. If you haven't purchased the book and you're interested in doing so, you can head out to buildingabetterworldbook.com and you can learn more there. All right, so this episode is about natural swimming pools. And the reason that this topic is included in our book is because this is an example of us talking about living a more luxuriant life and not sacrificing the things that we enjoy, but just looking at different ways of achieving positive ends. So in some areas, nearly everybody owns a swimming pool, but those swimming pools are filled with toxic chemicals. Chlorine is a poison. And they're run using pumps and heaters and have a huge footprint and use a lot of concrete and just are generally quite bad for the environment and for our health. And rather than telling everyone to go without a swimming pool, let's try and find a good alternative. And if any of the people who I know in real life happen to be listening to this podcast, you'll know that swimming is pretty much my favorite thing to do in life. And so for me, I love the idea of being able to have a natural swimming pool where I feel good about jumping in and feel like it is having a beneficial contribution to the environment rather than a negative one. So that's what this episode is about. And I want to explore the idea of building a natural pool that costs like a tenth of the conventional pool to install, and hopefully requires very little maintenance and very little ongoing costs, so that instead of paying to run the pumps and the filters and get the filters cleaned and all of the things that are involved with a conventional pool, hopefully we can just have a wonderful natural swimming pool to enjoy throughout the summer. Now, if you've never heard of a natural swimming pool before, and you're familiar with what happens when you have a conventional pool and you don't put chlorine into it or you don't clean it, you might be wondering, how do you keep a natural swimming pool clean? How do you keep it from having algae growth? And so algae is a small little plant that really likes to have a lot of nitrogen. And so the goal is going to be to try and keep as much nitrogen away from the algae as possible. And by doing so, we could potentially and realistically keep the water quite clear and make an enjoyable swimming experience. So there's three strategies for how to do this. The first one is to feed the nitrogen to other plants before it has a chance to be taken up by the algae. And so in a natural swimming pool, what we're going to do is we're going to have two different parts to a natural swimming pool. And there's going to be kind of the swimming area, which is for swimming. And then there's going to be the cleaning area, which is for cleaning. And the cleaning area is going to be a shallower area where there's a lot of plants that especially love to take up nitrogen. And those plants, coupled with their roots and all of the bacteria that like to hang out in that area, they are going to consume a lot of the nitrogen from the pond. And so you're going to have bulrushes and duckweed and cattails and other plants that are going to do this, and they're going to take up a lot of the nutrients that come into the pond and keep them out of the swimming area. Which means that that is much less nutrient going towards algae growth. Now, another strategy is to provide another place for the nitrogen to go, and that's into a carbon sink. And so, historically, people would put straw bales into their edge of their pond, and straw is loaded heavily with carbon, and carbon and nitrogen together compost. And so if it's composting instead of going into the algae, you're going to have less algae. But it's really important, if you're going to do this, that you make sure that your straw does not contain persistent herbicides, because those herbicides are going to go into the water, and then they're going to poison all of the other plants which are trying to help clean your pool. So it's important that it's organic, and you can use some alternative methods. For example, you could put tree trunks or like the root ball of a large tree that maybe was uprooted. You can put those into the side of the pond, and there's lots of other benefits that go along with that, like providing habitat for small critters that help to increase the diversity there. So that's the second way that we can do something about the nitrogen and reduce the algae. And then the third way is to make sure that the water is moving. And if the water is moving enough, then the algae doesn't have as much of an opportunity to grow. And so the way to do that is to increase the amount of oxygen in the water. And because moving water adds oxygen, and oxygen is crucial to make sure that all of the other plants in the pond survive. And if they don't, then there's going to be a lot of problems, because we don't want those plants to die. So if we keep the water moving, then we can reduce the amount of algae. And you'll notice, you know, if you're in a, if you see a pond that has moving water, then usually it has very little algae. But if you see a pond that's completely still, it's much more likely to have algae, though not guaranteed. And so if you have, say, like a creek feeding into your pond, then you're good to go. But not all of us have creeks, and not all of us can, you know, use them. But even so, we can use a pump that goes over some rocks to aerate the water as it goes into the pool. Or David Pagan Butler has a video called Natural Swimming Pools, a guide to designing and building your own. And in that, he shares the idea of using a bubbler from a fish tank. And this like kind of gently aerates the water. And it's really cool because a frog can go through it and it doesn't die, which is not the same as can be said for a pump sometimes. And so it has a very gentle influence on the ecosystem. And if you don't need a lot of aeration, then you can actually just run it off of a solar pump during the day and, you know, use very little energy for that, which is far different from pumping the whole volume of a conventional swimming pool into a filter and a heater, which takes a lot more energy. So those are three quick steps for how to reduce the amount of algae and keep the water clean without using any toxic chemicals at all, and provide habitat for beneficial organisms and generally improving the ecosystem diversity of your yard or your homestead, which I think is another benefit of having a natural swimming pool. Now, depending on where you live, you might be concerned that it's going to be too cold in the water. Some places you're not going to have a problem with this, some places you will. And so here are a couple ideas for how you can make it a warmer experience if you need to. One is just by having the filter area, the cleaning area of the pool, that area is going to be pretty shallow. And shallow water allows for a large amount of heat collection, because there's a small volume of water to the surface area ratio. So you're getting a lot of heat absorption like that. That's going to help a lot If you're like in a warmer area, that's probably enough on its own. In a colder area, you might want to consider if you have like large boulders, especially if they're dark colored, then you can put those in the pond or on the edge of the pond, and that allows the sun to heat up these large rocks, and then the rocks will like distribute that heat throughout the season and into the end of the season, giving you a bit longer of a swimming time. In addition, we've talked about berms before. If you make a nice sun scoop with your berm, so in the northern hemisphere, you'd put it kind of around the northern side of the pool. You'd scoop that sun so that it's reflecting off of the berm and staying in the area of the swimming pool, and that's going to keep the area warmer. One other idea for how to keep things warm is that it's possible to consider the idea of using the annualized thermal inertia ideas that I talked about in the last episode when we were talking about Wafati building. And that is providing and finding a way to insulate part of the soil and keep it dry so that it keeps more heat in it. Now, that's probably not necessary for most people, and I want to advocate for staying away from pond liners if at all possible. And so I would prefer, if we're going to talk about building a pond, if we're talking about a bigger pond and you have a bigger space, then I wish that we would consider Sepp Holter's technique for sealing a pond, which is using a giant excavator and using compression to basically seal the pond in a way that has no liner and just uses the natural materials on site. And if you have a small yard, like you're in a city, you can't build a huge pond, you might need to include vertical walls in your pond. And in our book, we provide an idea for how this could be done with natural materials using wood rather than concrete, which is more common. And so you can check that out. We have some cool drawings of how that could potentially look. And so this is just scratching the surface of what can all be involved with a natural swimming pool. Personally, I think that it would be a wonderful experience to swim in one of these and feel very connected to nature while doing so, while also saving money with a much cheaper system and allowing us to save money on the utility costs as well and reduce our exposure to toxins. So once again, this is an example of something that we don't really need, but it would be really cool to have. And let's explore ways to have it, but ways that are better for the environment and better for us. And if we look at it, there's lots of side benefits. Like with a natural swimming pool, you have increased ecosystem diversity, and you also have a large water storage in case of fire. And so you can pump from there if you ever have a big fire or something like that. So lots of other benefits to this as well. I hope this gets you as excited as it does for me. And I hope that if you're ever thinking about putting in a swimming pool, that you will consider building a natural swimming pool. That's all on this topic for today. In the next episode, I want to talk about financial strategies and how considering a different viewpoint can drastically change a lot of things for us, including how realistic some of these dreams might be and how we might be able to achieve them. So the next two episodes are going to be on financial strategies, and I hope that you're interested and that you'll tune in for that. Besides that, I just want to ask if you've enjoyed this podcast. We're on episode 23 already. If you've enjoyed it, please leave a review to tell other people who are considering whether this is something they want to listen to. Please leave a review so they know what you think. And I hope that you have been enjoying it. I don't expect you'd be listening all the way to episode 23 if you didn't. And so please leave a review. I hope that it can help other people decide whether this is a good fit for them or not. And if it is, then hopefully they will learn new ideas that help them make a difference in the world too. Besides that, I just want to say I hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.